Father, just thank you for this day and just for us being able to gather, even as we're separate, but just coming on your day of Shabbat, your day of rest, being able to open your word, Ruach HaKodesh, please come lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us, convict us, show us that we may truly have ears to hear, eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. Give us wisdom for these days ahead, and truly may we see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. All right, we are in Numbers 30. Starting in verse 1, Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, "This is the word which Yah has commanded. When a man vows a vow to Yah or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he does not break his word, he does according to all that comes out of his mouth. Or if a woman vows a vow to Yah and binds herself by some agreement, while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father has kept silent toward her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement with which she has bound herself stands. But if her father forbids her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself stands. Yah pardons her because her father has forbidden her. But if she at all belongs to a husband, while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance for her lips by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it, and he is kept silent toward her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her agreements by which she bound herself do stand. But if her husband forbids her on the day that she hears it, then he has nullified her vow which she vowed, and the rash utterance of her lips by which she bound herself, and Yah pardons her. But any vow of a widow or a divorced woman by which she has bound herself stands against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it, and has kept silent toward her and did not forbid her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement by which she bound herself stands. But if her husband clearly nullified them on the day he heard them, then whatsoever came from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it does not stand. Her husband has nullified them, and Yah pardons her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict her being, let her husband confirm it or let her husband nullify it. But if her husband is altogether silent at her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all the agreements that bound her. He confirms them because he kept silent toward her on the day that he heard. But if he nullifies them after he has heard, then he shall bear her crookedness. These are the law which Yah commanded Moshe between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter in her youth, in her father's house. So again, we have Yah speaking here as we... No, the New Testament says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. But that whatever we vow before Yah, we are to keep, because again, we have promised it to Yah. But that again, it begins to set in order with a woman in her youth or a maiden still in her father's house or under her husband, that those vows can be nullified. But that if you keep silent, then the vows stand. 31. Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Take vengeance for the children of Israel on the Midianites, after that you are gathered to your people. And after that, you are to be gathered to your people." Moshe spoke to the people, saying, "Arm some of yourselves for the campaign, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for Yah on Midian. Send 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel for the campaign." So they were supplied from the tribes of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed ones for the campaign. And Moshe sent them on the campaign, 1,000 from each tribe, then them and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, on the campaign, with the set-apart utensils and the trumpets for sounding in his hand. They fought against the Midianites, as Yah commanded Moshe, and killed all the males. And they killed the sovereigns of Midian with the rest of them who were pierced, Ui and Rechem and Sur and Hur and Reba, the five sovereigns of Midian. And they killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. The sons of Israel took all the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took all the spoils of their livestock and all their possession. And they burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their settlements, and they took all the spoils and all the booty, both man and beast. They brought the captives and the booty and the spoils to Moshe and to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the desert plains of Moab by the Jordan of Jericho. And Moshe and Eleazar the priest and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moshe was wroth with the officers of the army, with the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds who had come from the campaign. And Moshe said to them, "Have you kept all the women alive? Look, they are the ones who caused the children of Israel through the word of Balaam to trespass against Yah in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of Yah. Now kill every male among the little ones, and every woman who has known a man by lying with a man you shall kill. But keep alive for yourself all the female children who have not known a man by lying with a man. And you camp outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any being, whoever has touched any slain, clean yourselves and your captive on the third day and on the seventh day, and cleanse every garment and every object of leather and all the work of goat's hair and every object of wood." And Eleazar the priest said to the men of the campaign who went to the battle, "This is the law of the Torah which Yah commanded Moshe. Only the gold and the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, every object that passes through fire, you put through the fire, and it shall be clean. Only let it be cleaned with the water for uncleanness. Whatever does not pass through the fire, you pass through water. You shall wash your garments on the seventh day and be clean, and afterwards come into the camp." And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Count up the plunder that was taken of man and of beast, you and Eleazar the priest and the heads of the fathers of the congregation, and you shall divide the plunder into two parts, between those who took part in the battle, who went out on the campaign, and all the congregation. And set aside a levy for Yah on the men of battle who went out on the campaign, one out of every 500 of men and of..." "...men under our command, and not a man of us is missing. So we have brought an offering for Yah, what every man found of ornaments of gold, armlets and bracelets and signet rings and earrings and necklaces, to make atonement for ourselves before Yah." And Moshe and Eleazar the priest received the gold from them, all the fashioned ornaments, and of all the gold of the offering that they presented to Yah, from the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels. The men of the campaign had taken spoils, every man for himself, and Moshe and Eleazar the priest received the gold from the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it into the tent of appointment as a remembrance for the children of Israel before Yah. So here again we see that Yah took the children of Israel, and as they obeyed, they were able to overcome great odds, and that even as they went out to war with only a portion of the men, Yah blessed them, and not a single man was lost. It gives us hope for these days ahead, that though we seem to face overwhelming odds, though we seem that all around us we see them calling evil good and good evil. That as the scripture says, that 1,000 shall fall by my right and 10,000 shall fall by my left. That as we obey, as we seek to come out of her, my people, that we partake not of her sin and her plagues. As we seek to honor him and walk in his path, that he fights for us. And that there is hope for these days ahead, because Yah is on our side. Jeremiah chapter 4. It says verse 1, but I'm going to go down through verse 6. It says, if you do not return, O Israel, declares Yah, return to me. And if you remove your abominations from my presence and cease straying, and shall swear as Yah lives in truth, in right ruling, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and they shall boast in him. For this is what Yah said to the men of Yehuda and Jerusalem, break up your tillable ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourself unto Yah and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Yehuda, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest wrath come forth like fire and burn, while none to quench it, with none to quench it, because of the evil of your deeds. Declare in Yehuda, and let it be heard in Jerusalem, and say, blow a shofar in the land. Cry aloud, and say, gather together yourselves, and let us go into the walled city. Lift up the banner toward Zion. Be strong, do not stand still, for I am bringing evil from north and great destruction. As I read this, I know it speaks of Jerusalem and of the captivity as they were being taken away into Babylon. And with Jeremiah, who brought the word while all the other prophets were saying, peace, peace. And today we hear many in the church saying, peace, peace. We hear many in the church saying that our greatest days are ahead and the fields are white in the harvest. And the fields are white in the harvest. But I believe Yah is giving the same message that Messiah came preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as Jeremiah said, if we will repent, if we will return, if we will remove the abominations out of his presence, if we'll cease straying, then truly all the nations will be blessed, and they'll bless themselves in him. He's promised if we lift him up, he would draw all men into himself. But instead, as we call good evil and evil good, as we are silent about the vows that are going forth into our land, of the things that are being taught to our little ones, of the programs that are being pushed, of the things that are going on in our nation, then it's the same as being complicit with the father, with the husband in the house. And I'm afraid our country is destined for destruction if we don't repent. Perhaps the day is already gone, it would seem, as we were even speaking last night together as a family, how when we were younger, things looked bad. And then as we were older, things looked worse. And to have think that we could have come to a place where we are today in our society, with the Olympics getting ready to start, and they're letting men who say they're women participate in the women's sports. As we're getting ready to see the agenda being pushed as school starts back, as we see our country split between states that are trying to pass laws to protect our young girls, and the president that said every school needs to have bathrooms that everybody can go to, that we see two agendas going for the hearts and the minds of our children and of our nation, so that we stand more upon a precipice now than ever of what will happen in the days ahead, of where our nation will go, and of what calamity will come because of the judgment that we unleash. Psalms 116. I love Yah because he has heard my voice, my pleas, because he has inclined his ear to me, and I shall call throughout my days. The cords of death were around me, and the pains of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of Yah. O Yah, I pray to you, deliver my being. Yah shows favor and is righteous, and our Elohim is compassionate. Yah guards the simple. I was brought low, but he saved me. Return to your rest, O my being, for Yah has treated you well. For you have delivered my being from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I shall walk before Yah in the land of the living. I have believed, for I speak. I have been greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I return to Yah? All his bounties are upon me. I lift up the cup of deliverance and call upon the name of Yah. I pay my vows to Yah, now in the presence of all his people. Precious is the eyes of Yah, is the death of his loving... Precious in the eyes of Yah is the death of his lovingly committed ones. O Yah, I am truly your servant. I am your servant, the son of your female servant. You have loosed my bonds. I slaughter you a slaughtering of thanksgiving and call upon the name of Yah. I pay my vows to Yah in the presence of all his people and the courts of the house of Yah in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise Yah. We were talking last night again as a family of how we want to walk worthy of the calling we've been called. Again, as we read today, Moshe was getting ready to be gathered to his people because he was not going to enter the promised land because he had not honored Yah before the people by striking the rock. Joshua was being set in, and Joshua, who boldly declared as they entered the land, "As for me and my house, we shall serve Yah." Yet we know the story. Joshua entered the land, and Yah told them, "Make no covenant with the people of the land." And one of the first things they did was make a covenant with the people of the land. Yes, the people of the land deceived them. They came and tricked them. They acted like they weren't from that land. They were far off, but the scripture says they did not consult Yah on the matter. We see David, a man after Yah's own heart, who had killed Goliath, who had unified the tribes, and yet when it was time for kings to go out to war, he was on the rooftop instead and ended up having Uriah killed and taking Bathsheba. We see throughout Scripture people who have fallen, and we see throughout our church history, even recent history, of men who had anointings, who had ministries, and were taken out through the enemy, through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and a remembrance to us to try to walk that straight and narrow, to always let his word be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. The more of the blessings of wearing our tzitzit, that they can remind us of his commands, because his commands are life and life abundantly. And hallelujah for his grace, for his forgiveness, for his mercy when we stray. But hallelujah for his power to keep us from straying, that he would take out our heart of stone, he would give us a heart of flesh, he would write his laws on our inward members, that he could be our guide and we could be his people. And even as we read the psalm today, that we be careful to do everything he has put in our heart, everything that has come out of our mouth to do, everything so that the enemy has no place, that even as enemy came to Messiah, it said it found nothing in him, so he departed for a while. That we ask him to seek, to try us, to search us, to see if there's any wicked way. That we allow not the enemy in these days ahead to take us out, to come amongst us, to stop the thing that Yah is doing in these days. Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount, but many just know the Beatitudes. Said 33, but we're going to back up a little bit to 13 and start in verse 13. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes tasteless, how shall it be seasoned? For it is no longer of any use but to be thrown out and to be trodden down by men. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. Now again, who was Messiah preaching to here? He's preaching to the multitude. Excuse me. In Israel. It talked at the very end of chapter 4, verse 25, large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Yehuda and beyond the Jordan followed him. These were Israelites, Jews, those who had been taught the Torah, supposedly, from their youth, those who rose up, who sat down, who, if their parents had done what they should, had taught them Torah. So when they heard about being the salt, what did they think of? When they heard of being the light, what did they think of? We know the scripture says that his light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in Psalms. We know that salt, again, drew out the blood, that it took out, that it was a purifier. And even here he said, if salt has become saltless or tasteless, what good is it? Both of them referring again, I believe, to how Torah was still to be central to us as Messiah talked to them, and how that it is supposed to be not just something we heard or learned, but something that we lived. And then right after, he gave the example of being salt, of being light, and not just being light, but being light so much that men saw our good works and would praise our Father in heaven. He said, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. Yet, as a youth in church, I was taught Messiah came to do away with the law. How did we get to the place where we took his words that said, do not think I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets, and conclude that he came to destroy the law and the prophets? Excuse me. He He continues, for truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all is done. Now some say Messiah fulfilled all of Torah. I believe he kept all of Torah. But even if he fulfilled all of Torah, he said, till heaven and earth pass away. Has heaven and earth passed away? Are we still here? Are we still living on the same earth that Messiah walked? Then if it's not passed away, Messiah said, one yod or one tittle by no means shall pass from the Torah till all is done. All of what? Heaven and earth passing away. It's what he said. Then he continues, whoever then, what's the then mean? It's a reference to what he was just talking about. Don't think that I came to do away with the prophets, the Torah. Don't think that any of this shall pass away. It won't until heaven and earth is there. Therefore, or whoever then, breaks one of the least of these commands. What are these commands? Torah. He just told us what these commands were. One jot nor one tittle would it all pass from the Torah. So whoever breaks one of the least of these commands of Torah and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. Now, are we in the reigns of the heavens now? No, we're on earth. We're seeking thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. But we've not yet arrived there. I don't see his will being done fully on earth as it is in heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, does and teaches what? The commandments, the Torah, shall be called great in the reigns of the heavens. Now the question is, much as Peter and John, when they were brought before the Sanhedrin and commanded not to speak, they said, whether it's in the right in the eyes of God to obey men rather than obey God, you be the judge. In the same, whether I should follow my traditions, whether I should follow what I was taught, what the majority says, what my family was raised, or should I follow what Messiah said, what the scriptures proclaim, the words written in red. Should I want to be called great on this earth, in this day, in this kingdom? As Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness? Or do I want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, in the reign of heaven? For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the reigns of the heavens. How could my righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees? Well, in other places, Messiah said, by your vain traditions, you've made the word of Yah of none effect. Another place in Matthew, he told the people, the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moses, therefore, do what they command, but don't do what they do because they don't follow Torah. They go out and find a proselyte, a disciple, and they make them twice the child of Yana than they were before. Then he goes on to explain how our righteousness have to exceed. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Where does that come from? straight from the Ten Commandments, just in case there was any confusion of what commandments they were talking of. He gives us one. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. Where did that come from? Again, from Torah. If you murdered, you were to be put to death. You were to be stoned. There was no safe place for you. You could fled to the city of refuge, but if you had murdered, then the elders of the city of the refuge drug you out to the gates. But I say to you that whoever is wroth with his brother without a cause shall be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Racha, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. Excuse me. But whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the fires of Gehenna. If then you bring your gift to the slaughter place, and there remember that your brother holds whatever against you, leave your gift there before the slaughter place, and go first make peace with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Be well-minded with your opponent promptly while you're on the way with him, lest your opponent deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Again, straight from the Ten Commandments. But I say to you that everyone looking at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out, throw it away from you. But it is better for you that one of your members perish than for your entire body to be thrown into Gehenna. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away from you. For it is better for you that one of your members perish than for your entire body to be thrown into Gehenna. Now, is that a new teaching? No, it was the same as putting sin outside of the camp. It was the same again of not allowing sin in your midst. It has been said, whoever puts away his wife, let him give her a writ of certificate. But I say to you that whoever puts away his wife, except for the matter of whoring, excuse me, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who has been put away commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to Yah. But I say to you, do not swear vainly at all, neither by the heaven, because it is Elohim's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the sovereign, nor swear by your head, because you are not able to make one hair white or black. But let your word yea be yea, and your nay be nay, or your yes be yes, and your no be no. And what goes beyond these is from the wicked one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the wicked. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And also who wishes to sue you and take away your inner garment, let him have your outer garment as well. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile with him, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wishes to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do good to those hating you, and pray for those insulting you and persecuting you. So that you become sons of your Father in the heavens, because he makes the sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. You know, in the Old Testament, it speaks of loving your enemies. They would heap coals of fire upon their bosom. Messiah's not teaching new commandments. In the Old Testament, it said you could give them a writ of divorcement if you found uncleanliness into them. He wasn't changing Scripture. He was getting them to return to Scripture and not take a piece out of it, but the whole of Scripture. He was speaking against how the Pharisees had said, oh, you can swear by the holy place, but not the gold in the holy place. He was speaking against the parsing of Scripture that had been done. That as he said, by your vain traditions you made the word of Yah of none effect. And he was showing how not only am I to follow Torah by my actions should lead to a faith, to a love. As Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration, is good for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for teaching. He told Timothy, the Scriptures that you've had from your youth were to lead you to Messiah. That following, doing these things, having my mind washed with the pure water of the Word, leads to loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and loving my neighbor as myself. That is the goal, that is the outcome. On these two hang all of the law and the prophets. That it is a heart attitude. And that's what Torah always wished from the very beginning and all through Torah. He says over and over, it's not the blood of bulls and goats that I wanted. It was a contrite spirit. It was obedience. It was a humble heart. Only because of disobedience were many of the sacrifices required, so that it was a covering for my sin, for my shortcoming, a reminder of the horribleness of the wages of sin, of the death that it caused, not just to me, but to others. If you love those loving you, what reward have you? Are the tax collectors not... Excuse me, are the tax collectors not doing the same too? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Are the tax collectors not doing so too? Therefore, be perfect, be holy, be set apart, as your Father in the heavens is perfect, is holy, is set apart. You know, when I was younger and in church, one of the phrases I was taught is that I was a sinner saved by grace. And yes, as Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. There was a time when I walked according to the nations, according to the lust of the flesh, according to the blindness and the darkness I was in. But either he is able to keep us, or Jesus gave us a command, be perfect as he is perfect. That's unkeepable. Or he gave us a command and said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Something that is able to be done. If truly I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if I am a new creation, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. If truly I have died to self that I might live to Christ, to Messiah, if I have presented my body a living sacrifice, not conformed to this world, but transformed through the renewing of my mind, that I might prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. If I have done as Messiah said, taken his yoke, which is easy, his burden, which is light. If I believe what Yah himself said about Torah, that it's nigh unto me, even into my mouth, that I don't have to ascend to the heavens to find it. I don't have to go into the depths of the ocean to find it. If I believe that he has set before us life and death and blessing and cursing, and commanded me, instructed me, begged me to choose life. And if I know Messiah said that he came to give life and life abundantly, then I can understand that Messiah came that I might keep Torah. Not for my salvation, his death paid for my sin. His death has carried the penalty, for the wages of sin is death. He redeemed us from the curse, because cursed is the man that hung upon the tree. That I do not have to suffer that fate. That when I pass under the rod, I can be counted worthy. But all the more because of the high calling of which we've been called, because of the price that has been paid, because there is power in the blood. As Paul instructed, let me now walk worthy of the calling. Let me run the race as one who has counted the cost, as one who seeks to finish. Let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works. They may glorify my Father in heaven, that Jesus be lifted up, the Word who was from the beginning, who was with God and was God and became flesh for us, that living Word that is alive and powerful and able to divide asunder between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. May we live it, may we walk it, may we proclaim it, may we hold it up. May it be my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, may my loins be girt with the truth, may I take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. That though the days ahead be evil, though the enemy be encamped around us, though there seems to be darkness everywhere, we may boldly hold up a standard. We may proclaim that Yahuwah is still on the throne, that his Son is seated at the right hand of the Father till all of his enemies are made his footstool, and that for me and my house we shall serve Yah. May we have wisdom for the days ahead. May we be humble that we will not fail, that he may lift us up. But may we truly be that light set on the hill, because those who are in darkness in the days ahead shall have no hope without him. Father, thank you for your word, for your Ruach HaKodesh, for the blood of your Son who paid the penalty. Thank you that you did not leave us comfortless. You sent your Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, that he would teach us, lead us, convict the world of sin, that we could arise and live in righteousness. Thank you that you have gathered us under your wings, and thank you that truly we shall see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I guess don't call him back. We're right.
Adonai. Shabbat shalom.